Speak with one voice, a unified voice. This point is so critical. We will not be effective as a grassroots movement if everyone goes around saying different things. Public policy matters. And if we want to matter, that is, if we expect to affect public policy, we have to be unified in our message. We'll be joined a little bit later this morning by four gentlemen who are members of a very cool rock band and who also happen to all be United States congressmen. They gave up their time with their families over the weekend to come down here with us, discuss the role of energy and ag policy for this Congress, and how biodiesel fits into that policy. So I want to talk about NBB's public policy agenda. But first, let's talk about the biodiesel industry's vision for the next decade. In 2005, the National Biodiesel Board established a 10-year vision by setting a goal of growing to be a billion-gallon industry by 2015. But then during the subsequent 12-month period, you guys constructed more than a half a billion gallons of additional plant capacity, with another couple billion gallons reportedly in the works. Now, for any reporters out there in the audience, please get your pen out and please take note. Plant capacity is not the same as sales or production. Sales in that time frame tripled from about 75 million gallons to about 225 million gallons. But those expansion numbers demanded that we re-examine our 1 billion by 2015 goal. So this fall, the NBB approved a bold new long-term vision, 5x15. What does that mean? It means that the industry would like to achieve, on an annual basis, penetration of 5% of the diesel fuel market by 2015. So for those of you who want a little clarity of what that means, if you use as a benchmark 5% of the 40 billion gallon on-road market, it comes to about 2 billion gallons of biodiesel. So that would be a tenfold increase in production levels in less than 10 years. Are we up for that? I wasn't fishing for applause, by the way, but the 5x15 vision predicts that low blends such as B5 will be the highest volume market, but that other blends such as B20 and B100 will continue to grow on both on- and off-road applications. This is a very aggressive goal. There'll have to be some strong agricultural response in terms of yield, oil content increases for oil seeds, the way we've seen agricultural responses and dramatic improvements in corn in recent years. It may require some adjustments in trade, such as reducing exports of whole beans, increasing the domestic crush, finding export outlets for our protein, and it will require stimulation of additional feedstocks. Somebody's happy about that one. For those of you who might think 5% is not big enough to be relevant, let me point out a few things. The nation of Iraq is number 4 in the world in terms of countries with the most proven oil reserves. In 2005, the U.S. refined 1.85 billion gallons of diesel fuel from the crude we imported from Iraq. 5x15 means that we would be able to replace all of the diesel fuel coming from Iraqi crude. Five by 15 also means that we would have the ability with biodiesel to replace approximately 1/4 of the diesel fuel that the U.S. refines from the crude oil we import from the entire Persian Gulf region. Now keep in mind, I'm talking about the diesel fuel portion of the refinery output. This is a significant volume. This would make a real difference for our energy security. Now let's talk about the government policy objectives that the Regulatory Committee and the Governing Board have established as a priority for this 110th Congress that will help us achieve 5x15. Number 1, extension of the biodiesel tax credit. Clearly, this is our industry's top priority. Congressman Kenny Holsoff of Missouri is here with us today. You might remember him as the drummer of the Second Amendments last night. I was going to say the Ringo Starr of the Second Amendments, but it really more of like a Levon Helms of the Second Amendments. I mean, that guy, if you guys went home after the game, they just blew it out. And Kenny was singing the vocals, and the congressman was singing the vocals, playing that blues harp. It was really awesome. In the opening days of this 110th Congress, he and Congressman Earl Pomeroy introduced bipartisan legislation to make the biodiesel tax credit permanent. As you know, these two men have led our tax credit efforts from the House side from their important positions on the Ways and Means Committee. We'll be asking you to ask your congressman to support them in those efforts. Number two, energy title of the Farm Bill. There will be a Farm Bill this year. Congressman Colin Peterson of Minnesota is the chairman of the House Ag Committee. And of course, he is here with us tonight. Today. It's been a long night. There will be an energy title to that Farm Bill, and we'll be calling on you in the coming months to reach out to your congressional delegation, your congressman, to support Chairman Peterson so that he can ensure that the energy title includes some meaningful things for biodiesel. I'll touch on two of them very quickly. The bioenergy program and the biodiesel education program. We'll be seeking an extension and modification of the old bioenergy program to include a smaller production incentive on all gallons that will help stimulate domestic production. We'll also be seeking an extension and expansion of the biodiesel education program. The USDA has done a magnificent job of administering this program, and it's really allowed us to do some important work with the OEMs and our petroleum partners and others. The third thing is renewable diesel. Folks, this issue is a stark example of why public policy matters. Right now, as we speak, there are some very powerful forces in Washington, D.C., who are working to exploit a tax credit provision that was included in the 2005 energy bill. The renewable diesel tax credit was supposed to be, according to the Joint Committee on Tax, a small $60 million provision that was aimed at stimulating investment in a class of technology called thermal depolymerization. I know we're getting a little deep here. Try to stay with me. It was supposed to be designed to stimulate this technology that supposedly turned animal waste into fuel, animal waste, turkey offal, carcasses, other things like that, into a boiler fuel. However, a few powerful oil and gas interests have been applying enormous political pressure to get a broad interpretation of this term, thermal depolymerization, and a broad application of this tax credit, so that it could be given to petroleum refiners when they blend a small amount of biomass into their conventional petroleum input stream and run it through their conventional petroleum refinery process. What that would do is they would be able to, at that point, have the federal government pay them $1 per gallon for each gallon of palm oil, for example, that they could import into their refineries in the Gulf and blend in at low levels into their conventional refinery input stream. This would amount to an enormous subsidy of existing petroleum refinery capacity. This is just extraordinarily bad public policy on so many levels. They're going around Capitol Hill right now convincing people that biodiesel is the thing of the past. What they have is new generation biodiesel. It's the way of the future. Well, hang on a minute. Providing a windfall subsidy for traditional petroleum refinery capacity, I'm struggling to figure out how that is the way of the future. That seems more like the way of the past to me. It doesn't stimulate any investment in new plant capacity. It doesn't add any fuel to our fuel supply. It doesn't add jobs to our economy. It doesn't stimulate rural development. It doesn't benefit domestic agriculture. And it will cause the federal government to take money from U.S. taxpayers, give it to some of the richest private companies in the world so that they can put a stranglehold on the raw material supplies of the biodiesel industry. Now, while I calm down, I need to mention that it is very important that we don't generalize nasty things about the entire petroleum industry. The petroleum industry as a whole makes up an extremely critical group, an extremely important partnership with the biodiesel industry. We're going to be recognizing some of those individual partners on Wednesday. We're only talking about a few individual companies here with respect to renewable diesel. I have to move on, but please go to the members section of the MBB website and please read up on this issue. It's very important to this industry. And you will be called upon soon, very soon, to help. And I hope that you will. The fourth item is an alternative diesel standard. Last year, Chairman Brinkman appointed Chris Kappelman of ADM to chair an alternative diesel standard working group whose purpose was to work with the American Trucking Association on a joint initiative. ATA is very concerned about the proliferation of state blend requirements, which they view as a boutique fuel issue. But they're willing to strongly support a national biodiesel requirement in lieu of doing it on a state-by-state basis. They've proposed working jointly on an effort to substitute state biodiesel requirements for a single national one that would operate for diesel fuel the way the renewable fuel standard operates for gasoline. I asked the CEO of the American Trucking Associations to address our conference regarding this issue.